But that's okay. So yes, I am talking today about how as Christians, how do we plan, and how do we think about issues of the future, and I'll elaborate on that today. So overall, we're kicking off this series on reflecting forwards, and when I think about the end of 1 year and starting a new year, reflecting on the year that's been is one way that I guess I let my learnings from that year, like the good experiences and the bad experiences, shape how I plan to use my time and what I plan to perhaps do differently in the year ahead. Often, like this new year or holiday period, which we're probably almost coming out of, it's just a time when we've got a bit more space perhaps. Some of the pressures that are normally there have gone away, albeit temporarily. And we've got a chance to sort of make plans as a family, as individuals, and yes, certainly for in our professional life and in businesses. The sorts of questions we might ask ourselves are things like, what's working? What's worked well this year? What hasn't worked well? What do I want to do more of in this year ahead? And perhaps what do I want to do less of in this year ahead? To set the context for this sermon, and again for those who perhaps don't know me as well, I thought I should put my hand up and declare my bias. I'm a planner from way back, and I'm definitely someone who likes to be in control of everything. I guess running a business has possibly made that worse, because business is all about predictability, forecasting, foreseeing what lies ahead, and anticipating that so you can run the business effectively. So in other words, having good controls. But then also, as a Christian, I've spent a lot of time wrestling with how I should plan in a way that honours God, and where the concept of being in control fits in as both a Christian and as a person in business. So I've always been motivated by getting things done and working towards goals. Future planning or getting myself organised is a way of thinking about what goals I've wanted to work towards and how to organise the time, talents and resources that God's given me to make it happen. So in other words, how to best leverage or exert control over my own circumstances. As I've mentioned already, I run a business which helps people with exercise. And we operate four fitness facilities and employ around 30 people. And so planning and having control over aspects of the business are really critical to make sure we continue to deliver a great service, that it's relevant for our clients and remains financially sustainable. As someone who believes that our God created the world and that all things are known and under Him, I've wrestled with how I should approach planning. My natural inclination is to try and take control of each situation that I'm faced with or goal that I'm working towards by applying my mind, making quick decisions, and then taking action to get them done. The start of COVID in March 2020 was a time that really challenged my thoughts on planning. I can still remember being glued to the TV at 9 p.m. on Sunday, the 22nd of March, 2020. It's probably all of us were. As our then Prime Minister, Scott Morrison, gave the first of many evening updates, announcing the dramatic measures that would affect the way of life that all of us enjoyed. And for me specifically, and many other businesses, the forecast was that a business like mine in the fitness industry would be closed for up to 6 months. Which I think the term was unprecedented. It's not really something that I'd seen coming or had, when I looked through all my strategic plans, pandemic planning wasn't a feature. I didn't have a contingency for this, and then I probably spent the next couple of days on the phone for like 12 hours a day trying to organise my scattered thoughts and to work out how the business was going to get through this and survive. And I guess over that time, I was very quickly learning that I didn't have as much control over my circumstances as perhaps I thought. This was a time when I genuinely felt at the end of myself. I could see the challenge. I'm normally a pretty resilient person, but I just couldn't see how I was going to get over this one. The sorts of questions that I had at this time were things like, who's really in control? How does planning, or in other words, my will, interact with God's will for my life? I probably, like many of you, see planning as a tool for success in my life. But this really got me to think about what is success. And that's another sermon in itself. So how about you? What's your approach to planning? Are you someone who likes to think through everything and sort of plan meticulously and make informed decisions? Or do you prefer a more fluid, take it as it come approach? If you're at school, this side of the room, how do you think about what you'd like to do beyond school? What uni course would you like to work towards, or what trade would you like to do? What's your future job going to be? For all of us, regardless of our stage of life, we've had to think about other questions like, where will I live? Do I want a partner? Who will this be? Do I want children? How many? How will I spend my time? What level of issues do I need to pray about? And which ones can I just make a quick decision and just get on with it? So for me, for example, thinking about where I park my car seems at a different level to what job I should do. But which one of those, or should I pray for both of those? And so to summarise, how do I plan and make decisions in all of these areas of my life in a way that honours God and his plans for my life? So Hazel read a verse to us previously. I'm just going to read that again to find out what God says to us about planning in the Bible. So this is from James 4, 13 to 15. Now listen, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go to this or that city, spend a year there, carry on business and make money. Why, you do not even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if it is the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that. And there's numerous other verses in the Bible that speak of planning. And so I've just picked out a few others that spoke to me. So from Proverbs 16, verse 9, in their hearts, humans plan their course, but the Lord establishes their steps. From the same chapter, Proverbs 16:3, commit to the Lord whatever you do, and he will establish your plans. And then the Tower of Babel from Genesis 11:4, they said, come, let us build for ourselves a city and a tower whose top will reach into heaven, and let us make for ourselves a name. Otherwise, we will be scattered abroad over the face of the whole earth. To me, the common point from these and many other verses relating to planning that appear in the Bible is about us grasping the true situation that exists between us and God and not deceiving ourselves with the secular viewpoint that we're masters of our own destiny. God is our creator and we are his created beings. We owe everything we are and everything that we have to him. Ultimately, God is in control and we are not, despite how I try and convince myself to the contrary. When we plan, we need to do so holding the following truths in mind. Just making sure I'm on the right page. I am. Good. So what should we do about this? What action should we take? So as Christians, our planning needs to sit under the framework that God, our Creator, is sovereign. In Proverbs 9:10, it says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. For me, I think that this and other verses describing real wisdom as the reverent fear of God sets the tone and framework for us as human created beings. We can and should make plans, but with a life posture that God is in control, wants the best for us, and is working to bring his kingdom to the world, and that each of us has a role to play in this. As we plan, realizing that God's view on success, the Christian view on success, reflects his kingdom values and is different from worldly values. This should also shape our planning, what we pursue with our time and effort. This is a lesson I feel I have to relearn each day. Often this lesson comes from a small voice at an unexpected time. And one little sort of aside for me, I can distinctly remember during that month or those couple of days early in COVID, I was running around like a headless chook, trying to make sense of my own thoughts and how to keep my business afloat, when one of my little girls came and told me that one thing she was enjoying about lockdown was having me at home. And I remember it really broke my heart because I'd been so absorbed in my own pain that I hadn't even noticed. So God gave me a great reminder that day. So how do we hear from God in our planning on a practical level? Most of you know me, I'm into action steps. So we hear from God through his word. If you or we don't read or study the Bible, how can we expect to know what God wants and what his kingdom values are? I don't think I really touched the Bible in my first 10 years as a Christian outside of Sunday services. After some prodding from others, Tanya may have been involved, I eventually ended up in BSF. Kim Harris helped me out with that. But I was still very much going there and doing it out of a sense of, this is what I should be doing, out of a sense of discipline. The surprising thing for me was that once I started reading the Bible, I actually found I started to look forward to going to those sessions and having those conversations with a group of guys I was spending time with. I feel like getting down to the practical details of the Bible means being part of a group. We've got growth groups in this church, but being part of a group where you have accountability to the group, where people can challenge your ideas, or when you turn up with a blank bit of paper because you don't know the answer, there'll be someone who's wiser than you in the room or with a different angle that can challenge your thought process. So I think reading the Bible and studying the Bible becomes a foundation in our planning and is one way that God speaks into our plans and what we are chasing in this world. We also hear from God through prayer. We're told in 1 Thessalonians 5:17 to pray continuously or without ceasing. What does this mean? For me, this means that God is a constant in our lives, even during the times that we ignore him. That he will be a constant in our planning and we should invite him into our plans and seek his will in our plans. I believe that the more time we spend in God's word and the more time we seek God in prayer, the more the desires of our heart or our plans will align with God's will for our lives. He changes us. Another really important, pillar of this, and one that's, I've been learning a lot about in the last few years, is hearing from God during periods of silence or stillness or Sabbath. We live in a chaotic world at a frenetic pace, always trying to get stuff done. That wasn't an accusation, that was more of a confession. I'm slowly trying to learn the importance of slowing down, of rest, and of being still before our God. I think as Kingsley puts it, being rather than doing. It's not something that comes naturally to me, and some of you may be able to identify with that as well. Being still before God also prepares us to hear from God when we read the Bible or pray. Can you guys relate to trying to pray at the end of a day when you've still got other issues floating through your mind and you close your eyes and start praying, and it keeps your prayers keep getting sabotaged by the thoughts of the day or you fall asleep? So being still before God and preparing our hearts in advance is really critical. Busyness and noise in our lives, quenches the Holy Spirit and keeps us in survival mode rather than living God's abundant life. I know that I probably haven't had enough silence or Sabbath and stillness in my life. I know that when I haven't had enough silence in my life, I become short-fused and probably even more task-oriented than I am naturally, pushing people aside to get things done. In those times, I just don't allow space for God to speak into my life or my plans. Busyness or noise could also be present in our lives as other forms of distraction in the many forms that it takes. So that could be losing hours to your social media feed or anything that we do at an excessive level that soaks up all of our time, energy and focus and leaving us with nothing to spend or no time or energy to spend with God. There's no convenient one-size-fits-all solution to this problem, but I think it's worth thinking about for each of us in the context we find ourselves in. What could we do to simplify our lives, to slow down, and to be in God's presence? So how can we all live this out together? And what would it look like if we took on the wisdom of these verses? I'd like to kick off this sort of push to the end by saying planning is good. All right, Proverbs 21:5 says, "The plans of the diligent lead to profit as surely as haste leads to poverty." Imagine what it would be like if all the people of the world, we all brought our plans under the lordship of Christ. Planning with God at the center allows us to maximize the impact of our God-given talents and resources for the benefit of God's kingdom. We, all of us, are the many parts of the one body of Christ. And living to our God-given potential means that God's will is being done on earth. For example, you may be someone who has great skills with people and enjoy having one-on-one conversations. Or you may be someone who's reflective and wise. Or someone who works with children. Could we take these capacities that we've been given and make our plans for what we do with them by first bringing them before God as we are still before Him, study His word, and pray? Perhaps God will reveal other ways that we could be using these skills. My personal example of this are the various roles that I've found myself in at Unley Park. Probably Tanya and I have been coming here for around 5 years. And at that point, for those first 5 years, my main contribution was sitting in a pew and listening to the service and participating in it. It wasn't that I didn't want to contribute and serve. I just didn't know what to do. Can't quite sing like Jane, can't preach like Jason. So it was sort of sitting back and just taking that in. But through prayer and through spending time with God, in the end, God's brought me to a situation where I could use the skills I'd learnt in business and in life and contribute in some more of the behind-the-scenes roles and in decision-making here at Unley Park. By planning with God at the centre, we become people who work in God's way, with His kingdom priorities and in His timing, commonly known as kingdom success. Sorry. All right. Planning with God at the centre also gives us the capacity to live with a much greater sense of purpose for our lives, that we are genuinely going to play a role in making a difference to the world by being obedient to our Creator. Imagine what it would be like if we, in our church, if we brought this approach to planning and sense of purpose. In my role serving on our church council, there's definitely a weight that you feel to make good decisions. And there can also be some really tough issues that we need to talk about and I guess resolve. But acknowledging that God's in control in these situations and inviting Him in to direct our plans is really foundational for us to work through these and helps to provide unity, comfort and direction. So as I close today, I hope you've been challenged or at least reminded about how God directs our plans. In particular, I wanted to get you guys thinking about where you're at in relation to stillness, Bible study, and prayer in your lives, and what practical steps you could be taking to advance these areas and hear more from God. Thanks for listening, and I'm going to pray to close off. Do you join me in prayer? Heavenly Father, we do want to hear from you, and we come before you to ask for your input into our plans. Lord, we just ask that when we forget to ask you first, that you poke us and prod us and use others to challenge us so that we do keep submitting our plans before you, that we learn to listen and that we learn to be still and hear what you've got to say. Thank you for the talents and capacities that you've given everyone in this room, and please help us to use them for your glory. Amen.
Thank you, Christian. I love your contribution in our church. And Christian was not that enthusiastic initially to be sharing today, so I'm really grateful you have. I want to pick up on just one thing that was a repetition through what you said. Christian gave us the contrast between kind of God's way and what the world values in the world's way. And don't be surprised if you and I have a lot of the world thinking in us. Like a lot. We should be quite suspicious of ourselves, don't you think? That our tendency is to follow and desire what everyone else in the world wants and desires too. So as we go into this year, and some of you maybe like Christian and maybe like me have written some things down for our year and plans, or some of you maybe it's more like an instinctual thing, be a bit suspicious about it. Ask yourself, is this actually seeking first the kingdom of God? Don't make your first thought, this is fine. Check it. Check whether your plans for this year are in line with seeking first the kingdom of God. Be a bit suspicious of yourself. I think that's a little bit more honest, don't you?